Welcome to the Research Reimagined podcast, brought to you by Nottingham Trent University. I'm your host, Helen Darby Dowman, and I'll be inviting some of NTU's brightest minds to explore how their research is helping us to deepen our understanding of the world. From online addictions to transgender rights and sleep disorders, listen as we discuss some of society's most pressing challenges and uncover some of the ways our research is making a difference. For many athletes, competing at the Olympics is the pinnacle of their career and a moment that they have trained years to achieve. So the last thing they want to get in their way is a common cold, stomach bug, or any other illness. So how do athletes guarantee that they stay healthy before the Games? Joining us today is Carla Baker from the School of Science and Technology, an expert on the effects of exercise on the immune system and athlete health, to tell us the measures that those heading to the Games undertake to remain germ-free. Carla, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So Carly, you've done a lot of work around the effects of exercise on the immune system and the effects of illness in athletes. Do you want to start by telling us a bit about why people get ill?
Sure. So we can sort of look at this in two types of ways. So the first thing we have is our immune system directly. So if we are more susceptible to getting ill, so things like exercise, for example, can suppress our immune system. If our immune system is suppressed, we are more likely to get ill. And the second sort of arm of this is increased exposure to pathogens. So, for example, if we are putting ourselves in environments where we are in large crowds or, maybe you're on a COVID ward, for example, the environment that you're in is exposing you to more pathogens. So if you are more exposed to any sort of virus or bacteria, and you also have a suppressed immune system, and then you will likely to get ill.
And so the Olympics is coming up.
Sure.
And athletes obviously are hoping to be at the top of their game. Mm-hmm. What are the risks that they're facing in the run-up to the Olympics? Because they're certainly not going to want to get ill.
Yeah. So the immune system is a really tightly regulated system. So any changes in our hormones or the environment will likely affect our illness susceptibility. So before an Olympic period, athletes will often undergo training camps, for example, and as part of that, they will increase their training load and reduce their recovery. Now, with that comes hormone changes. So cortisol, for example, is the main sort of player with that. Cortisol is anti-inflammatory, so essentially it suppresses our immune system, and cortisol elevates with exercise. So if we're consistently elevating our cortisol levels across a prolonged period of time, it is likely that our immune system will become suppressed, which of course poses a major risk for the athletes getting ready. We do know that upper respiratory infections is the most common type of illness that an athlete will get, and they tend to cluster around competition times. So the Australian Institute of Sport, for example, they did a study, and what they found was that in the run-up to a key competition, 50% of athletes who were screened actually said that they experienced an upper respiratory infection. Now, the importance of this is we know that every week of training that you miss, your chance of success is reduced by 26%. So if you're an athlete getting ready for the Olympic Games, getting ill is really not something that you want to be doing. It's really, really important that we, as an athlete, if you avoid illness at all costs, because it can be detrimental.
Getting ill is obviously a real threat.
Yeah.
To performance, and obviously the Olympics happens every 4 years. So the level of stress must go on top of that. Does stress have an impact on our kind of susceptibility to illness?
Yeah, so if you think about it, exercise stress, as we've spoken about, elevates cortisol. Cortisol is an immune suppressant. But things like psychological stress also affects our cortisol. So if we're already putting our bodies through this prolonged training period where we're elevating our cortisol levels over a period of time, perhaps not letting our immune system recover, and then on top of that, we're psychologically stressed because, you know, you want to win the medals and you've got all of this stuff going on, that can further have an impact on our immune system. So in the run-up to a game, we know it's really important that we don't get ill because our chance of success is really, you know, limited by that. But equally, the things that we need to do to get those medals are actually suppressing our immune system. So maybe a bit counterintuitive.
So I'm assuming there's probably many strategies out there. Can you tell us a bit about some of the strategies that athletes may put in place in that kind of really crucial period?
Yeah, so again, if we think about the two ways we get ill, first is avoiding exposure to these pathogens. You can have sort of interventions that revolve around that. So for example, avoiding exposure to infections during long haul flights. So many athletes, I mean, not us this year, going to Paris, but from other countries, for example, they might have a long flight to get there. And the cabin air is recirculated. So that means that your risk of encountering an illness, so a bacteria or an infection via that recirculated air is quite heightened. So things like antibacterial nasal sprays are really important. The main way that we get ill is through our nose, eyes and mouth. So if you touch something, a surface that has bacteria or virus on, and then you touch your eyes, nose and mouth, that's the main way that we get ill. So anti-nasal sprays, things like wiping down surfaces on a plane before you get there. Avoid being in close proximity to others. Obviously, that's really hard. You know, budgets are tight and, you know, you can't always pay for extra room. So maybe wearing a mask would benefit those. And then we also have avoiding exposure at the Olympics. So crowds, of course, when they gather, they come with a heightened risk. So things like avoiding crowds, avoiding street food. So you have a couple of days off where you might want to go into the towns. Really important that athletes sort of stick to the athlete village. So eating only there and drinking only bottled water. Things also like aircon. So in the hotels, making sure you're opening windows, avoiding aircon, those types of things. So they all seem pretty self-explanatory, but they all reduce your risk of exposure to pathogens.
Is there then a kind of link between sports and where people get ill in terms of, like, if you were competing in outdoor sport, obviously you've got the open air, but then if you're in an arena, you know, like a pool or the velodrome or something like that, is there more risk for those athletes?
Yeah, so swimming, for example, in the water, you're increasing your exposure to any sort of viruses, bacteria. Of course, they put chemicals in the waters, but they're not 100% effective. In an arena, in a tight space, of course, ventilation is really important. We all saw with COVID the whole, you've got to be a certain amount of distance away from each other, ventilation. So yeah, being outside is definitely beneficial. Of course, that doesn't account for all the times that you're with other athletes as well. But in terms of, crowds, definitely being in an arena or swimming pools, for example, is really important in limiting your exposure. The other thing we have to think about is limiting our immune suppression. So as I've already stated before, I suggested that maybe intensified training may limit our immune system, mostly regulated by cortisol. So things we can do to limit those effects. So making sure we get more than 7 hours of sleep per night. So studies have shown that those athletes who sleep less than 5 hours a night are 4 times more likely to get an upper respiratory infection than those who are sleeping more than 7 hours a night. Again, that's tightly regulated by cortisol. Our cortisol rhythms will change with sleep. So that's really important. Avoiding low energy intake as well. So ideally, athletes will want to match their energy intake with their energy expenditure and make sure at least 50% of that energy is coming from carbohydrates. Now, the main reason that is because any sort of metabolic process that goes on in our body requires energy, and the immune system's no different. So if our immune systems need to carry out a function, they will require energy. And if we don't have enough energy for those things, they are suppressed. They also suggest that potentially every, in terms of long haul travel, you should arrive at the destination 1 day early for every time zone you cross. Because again, jet lag can have a real impact on your immune system as well. Again, not too serious for the UK, for example, going over to Paris, but for other countries, that could be really important. And then again, with training, so we know that short spike sessions are better closer to the games and at the games in terms of training rather than these prolonged sessions. So anything more than 90 minutes will likely suppress the immune system for a period of time. And with the sort of chaos that comes with the Olympics, it's really hard to get that recovery periods in. So short, sharp spikes in training around those times.
So why are some people more susceptible than others? Is it related to the sort of events that they do? Because obviously, when just talking there about the length of exercise you should do or training,
yeah.
There's obviously some sports that just fit naturally into the short, sharp, yeah. And some that will go on for hours.
Yeah, so there are different factors. Genetics is one. So that's something we can't control, unfortunately. But environment, so microbial load. So if I am a cyclist, for example, and I'm in the velodrome and there's a large crowd, the microbial load, so the amount of the strength of a virus that could be there is likely to be higher than if I was a marathon runner and I'm encountering sort of fairly moderate crowds sort of stretched out along the course. So again, that's another. And also response to inflammation. So for example, if someone was to get ill, so I might get really ill off the same pathogen that you might not have a response to. And that's to do with our response to the inflammatory stress. So some people are able to have a really high inflammatory response to an infection, but then turn it off pretty quickly. So we've dealt with the problem, we've got rid of it, and now I'm back to a sort of steady state. Some people really struggle to, first of all, increase that inflammatory response. So they're the types of people that may get those sort of prolonged symptoms to an illness that I might have recovered really quickly from. And then you also have the people who have a really heightened inflammatory response. Great, I've got rid of it, but then can't turn it off. And again, that's just as detrimental to the immune system. So as we've already said, it's a really tightly regulated system. So some people are more susceptible. Some people just can't handle the inflammation as well as others. But sport definitely does play a large role in it. We know that endurance athletes are 10 times more likely to report an upper respiratory illness than sprint or power athletes. So it definitely plays into that, yeah.
And what's the reason then for those endurance athletes, that kind of increased susceptibility?
Yeah, so there are a couple of mechanisms. First of all, as we've spoken about before, cortisol is anti-inflammatory, and those prolonged heavy training loads that the endurance athletes will go through will elevate their cortisol more chronically than someone who is doing a 100-meter sprint, for example. So those prolonged, heavy, long training blocks are really sort of important drivers towards that. In terms of the immune system, we have an antibody in our saliva, and it's called SIgA. But essentially, that's our first line of defense. So as I've mentioned, if you touch your mouth, eyes, nose, this is the main way we get ill. The antibody in our saliva, studies have shown that in the most intense parts of a season, and predominantly this was looked at in a football season, but it's also been shown in swimmers and in endurance runners. But at the most intense parts of the season, our SIgA, so our antibody in our saliva, is at its lowest. And when it's at its lowest, the reporting of upper respiratory infections is at its highest. So in a nutshell, exercise can reduce the amounts of antibody that we have in our saliva, which cause people to get more ill around the really heavy competition periods. So that's one mechanism. Another could be, or is, our immune functions of our individual cells are reduced. So immune cells are less able to detect, recognize, and respond to any sort of immune challenge after a prolonged exercise period. Now, there is a recovery period with that, and there's sort of arguments around, you know, is there a window of opportunity for infection, or, you know, is it really short? How long is it? But generally, it's sort of accepted that after any prolonged period of intense exercise, immune function is suppressed for a period of time.
It's amazing when you look at kind of all the challenges and threats that perhaps an athlete, when they get to the Olympic Games, are having to deal with. You know, we see them in an arena, on a court,
yeah,
trying to compete at the best level. So I suppose if we bumped into one in the street and they were frantically wiping down handles or wearing a mask, we shouldn't be too surprised.
No, absolutely not. I mean, look, if I was lucky enough to go to an Olympics to compete, Would I take every precaution possible to not get ill? Absolutely. You know, those who win medals don't get sick. That is the large, you know, of it. They don't get sick, because if they were sick, they would miss training. If they miss training, they're less likely to get medals. We know you have to meet 80% of your training camp in order to be successful. So yeah, by and large, no, don't judge anyone wiping things down if they're going to the Olympics.
Carla, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really interesting.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
If you'd like to find out more about Carla's work, please have a look at the episode description.
You've been listening to the Research Reimagined podcast by Nottingham Trent University. For all of the latest news from the research community at NTU, follow us on Twitter at NTU_research, or sign up to our research newsletter by visiting ntu.ac.uk/research. Thanks for listening.